but yet, God, we know that you are above it all. And because of that, we have our hope and we have our encouragement and our joy and our strength. And God, today I pray as we look to that, that you will continue to pour that down upon us, that we will allow our minds to focus on you and our hearts to be open. Lord, as we forget about those things of today and we just focus on you, God, may you speak to us through your word today. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. We've been going through on January just a different sermons, different messages to encourage us for this new year. And this is the last Sunday of January. We realize that. So, Eric will be speaking for me next Sunday. Kim and I will be away. And so be praying for Eric as he finalizes and puts things together to come and bring you the truth. And unless you do that, unless you come and you preach and you teach the truth, you have no idea the responsibility and the nervousness that comes with it. Been doing this for going on 30 years, and it's still a little bit nerve-wracking at times to be able to come. And it's not so much anymore, and maybe Eric can relate to this, but a little different. It's not so much more the way you look back at me. Scary at times. Just saying, scary. It's more so I'm understanding more and more the responsibility that God has given to stay true. And that's in our day and age and in our world, that's something that is very, very difficult at times. Because we go out, there are so many ways to get information, so many people to listen to. And I remember doing a message earlier a couple years ago out of Luke, and I made a statement that sort of stuck with me, that whoever you read and whoever you listen to is what basically you're going to believe. And we have a whole generation out there that is just not looking into truth. They're just seeing it on the TV screen and believing it, or seeing it on their phones, and it becomes something that is real. And so we're living in a generation that really needs to understand what a heart of a disciple is all about. Because if I can encourage you in anything that you want to increase in your life this year, it would be this. It's not that you don't have one. It's not that you're not doing it. But we all have room to grow. We all have room to step it up a little bit and have a little bit more of this in our life. So I want to encourage you and challenge you right off the get-go that this is something that I am going to implement in my life the best of my ability to have a better heart of a disciple. But we need to understand what that looks like. We need to understand what that means in today's day and age and in our world. So when we look at this, the first thing we want to see is while we are here, get my clicker working here maybe. Really, I can tell you what it says, but it's no fun. It's just being cantankerous. While we're here on earth, we have a purpose. And in that purpose, it's going to aggravate me. I'm not going to walk down here every time. But anyway, let me show you that one first. We have a purpose. And while we're here on earth, that purpose that we have has to be defined, because if we don't define our purpose, remember, your purpose is always defining you. Whether you define that purpose or not, or whether you put that purpose into a perspective of understanding, you're being defined by your purpose. When you get up in the morning, you like to eat, right? Maybe a purpose to go to work. You have a purpose, and in that purpose that you and I both have, we need to realize that as we put that into perspective, there are things that we need to understand in our life that will come together with that. And this thing still isn't wanting to work. So, how smart is it to bring a dead battery? Let's see if we can get that one to work again. It's blinking. You got to be kidding. All right. All right. Let's see if we can make this work a different way. We are to be Christ followers and disciples. That's our purpose, okay? We're going to ditch the clicker, and we're going to try to do it by hand, see if we can get through this morning. But we are Christ followers or disciples. The reason why I put Christ follower first is because even in the New Testament, as you study through that, there were many disciples, but not all of them followed Christ. Because disciple is a word that basically, when you use it, it's a word that means someone who takes his learning and makes it the base of their conduct. That's a disciple. So when you have that concept of what a disciple is, it can go with anything. Anybody who takes his learning and then uses it as a base of their conduct, you are therefore a disciple of. And sometimes we do that, you know, sometimes we're disciples of our own deal, right? We're all learned people, right? We all have a learning, we all have an understanding, and sometimes when we want to work our own, we end up having a purpose of our own agendas, a purpose of our own selfish, got to get her done. Now, it's not that we live in a world of selfishness. Yeah, right. It's not that you don't understand that. We understand that way too well. Because of all the things going around around us, and all the decisions that are being made in some of the leadership positions of our world, it's not for us. It's a different agenda that is out there. And so when you don't have, you have to go to the leadership of our country, the leadership of our world, go to the leadership of the homes, go to the leadership of the schools, just leadership. A lot of leadership is leaning towards this concept. So we need to understand disciple means someone who takes his learning and makes it the base of their conduct. That's why our purpose needs to be Christ follower, disciple. Because when we make that our learning and we make that the basis of our conduct, then you are a true Christ follower. So there are a lot of Christian disciples that are not Christ followers. There are a lot of pastors who preach behind the pulpit who are not Christ followers. There are a lot of people that are giving you the messages that aren't Christ followers. And so we need to be very, very careful in the world today of any kind of information at your fingertip. Because it's, you know, and I'll just give you a little perspective, a little transparency. Do you know how hard it is to be a preacher? When everybody, not everybody, a lot of people will say, why watch Dr. David Meyer, David Jeremiah this morning? I got to compete with that. I watch this. I got to compete with that. Or I watch this guy. Or I listen to that guy. We have information at our fingertips. Be careful. Not that those guys are bad, by the way. I'm honored that you listen to him and still come listen to me. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. But, you know, we need to understand it, and it goes both ways. I have been asked by someone if they could present a Satan Bible. No, I cannot. And even if I had one, I wouldn't. Thanks, sir. If I had one, I wouldn't. Because, one, the whole process of that is there's no truth in it. There's no truth in it. So when you and I look at this, and I really want to stress this, why is it important to have the heart of a disciple? Well, when you define it correctly, it defines you. Your purpose will define you, whether you know what your purpose in life is or not. Just see how you live life. See how you're able to continue in life and see how things continue on. So, that being said, let's see. Doggone. Thank you, but it didn't work. Three reasons that you and I need to have a heart of discipleship. Or disciple, as we look at this. First of all, our works manifest who God is. How we define our life, how we live our life, really manifest who God is. Not what God can do, because we all have the stories, we all have the understanding of how well God has changed lives. I now hold the torch. And the third thing we see is that I am sent. So I want to see these three reasons in our life. These three concepts are why you and I are in the need of having a heart for disciple or to be a disciple of Christ. Because our lives manifest who God is. And we are basically, we're the torch holders now and we have been sent. But I want to look at John 9, because when you look at John 9, we find a way of looking at this differently, because in John 9, Christ is our example of a true disciple. So we're going to look at what he did, we're going to look at how he did it, and then we're going to see if we'll apply that to our lives today. Because I can't think of any greater example than Christ himself. And so when we see this in our lives, first of all, our works manifest who God is. If you have not turned yet, turn to John 9. We're going to look at these verses together, starting as we look at verse 3. Let's read verses 1 through first. And it says, "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him." How important it is to know that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the torchbearer. Everything he did, in fact, in chapter 8 of the same chapter, going to verse 12, he simply makes that statement of himself. "Then spake Jesus again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life." He is the torch. He is the one, he is the light of the world. Because he is the light of the world, we understand, as he could then go back into chapter 9 again, and he says, he's asking his question, this work that I'm going to do is, I'm only going to do it to manifest who my God is. I want you to think about that for a minute. So for you and I to take this into our lives today, we realize that to be have a heart of a disciple means that all that I do, all the work that I accomplish, everything in this year to come that you and I are going to face and maybe succeed, maybe not succeed, all the people that we're going to meet or the people that are going to know us, everything we do ought to manifest who God is. That's going to determine how you respond. That's going to determine what kind of a crowd you hang with. That's going to determine the places you go. That's going to determine a lot of your purpose. Because everything I do, everything I want to accomplish, I want it to manifest who my God is. That means when life hits, and it's hard, and it's difficult, by God's grace, I need to get back up. Because if I don't get back up, how does that speak strength in my God? How does that speak that my God is there for me? My God's going to lift me. My God's going to take care of me if I can keep complaining on what my God is putting me through. So there's a purpose in this. And listen, none of this is easy. When you wake up in the morning, open your eyes, take your first breath, get ready. Because from that point, before that, it was easy, right? You were sleeping. After that life hits. Life's hard. Things hurt. But there's a purpose in trusting who your God is. So in that purpose, he is the light of the world. Therefore, he says in verse 3, again, because he is the light of the world, that we need to also understand this. He answered the disciples' question, who sinned? And I want you to see how important this is, because this is a very physical, true event that has an unbelievable spiritual heavenly meaning, as with most of God's word. So when we see he answered the question, and we see how he answered the question, interesting enough that it wasn't anyone who sinned. Look at verse 3 again. As they ask him in verse 2, he answers in verse 3, neither one had this man sinned nor his parents. The reason why this man was born blind, that's very important. He didn't have an accident and he didn't lose his eyesight. He was born that way. The reason why Christ is defining here that he was born this way is so that later on, years in his life, God could be manifested in what he's about to do. You talk about God's sovereignty. God, do you think God knows your tomorrow? You think God knows all the things that you're going to go through? Most of those things are going to be so that God could be manifested. Listen, things happen to people not because they're bad people. Things happen to people just because God says, I need a testimony right now. This person who's watching you, this person who's dealing, they need to know who I am. So I'm going to let you go through something And then you're going to respond in the right way, and they're going to see me through you. How's that working for us? That's hard, isn't it? Like, how fair is that? How fair is it that we have to go through so God is glorified? Trust me, it's more than fair. It's more than fair because we don't deserve anything he has. God died for us. If you're ever talking with individuals, and was able to share this with several people, but whenever you talk with individuals over pain of loss or pain of death, you need to lead them to God because he knows the flip side of love is pain. He loved you and I so much that he painfully watched his son die for us. You see, when you flip that coin, loving family, loving people, everybody loves everybody. When you flip that coin, when somebody passes, that pain that comes defines the love that was there. And Christ, he knows that. God knows all about that. And so how relevant it is, do we realize as he answered disciples, it was from birth. He was born this way so that God, he himself, could be manifested at this moment. So what we need to see is the time frame to do the work for you and I. How long do we have to put up? How long do we do? Well, verse 4 is very clear, as we see in John 9. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now what he's saying here, Christ is saying, listen, I need to do all I can while I can for as long as I can, and my God will take care of the rest. Because listen, that's my new philosophy in life. I hope it's yours. I'm going to do all I can for as long as I can while I can. And the rest belongs to God. That's every day. Listen, none of us have been programmed to work 24/7 and just make... Listen, the world is not functioning because of me or you. And we don't have to have all, we don't have to be all. Why? Because God has given us the time to do it. But he says, listen, while it's daylight, while the light is here, who is the light? Christ is the light of the world. Who now is the light of the world? You and I are the light of the world. As you and I now are the light of the world, we need to realize that's going to go. Whether it goes individually or whether it goes corporately in the rapture, the light is going to be gone. And what Christ is saying in this verse is we need to be working. We need to continue this work process while it is day, because the night, which represents death in the Bible, while the night is not here yet. Listen, that night's coming for all of us, isn't it? It's an appointment. And it's one that you cannot get out of. It's one that you will not change. It's one that they will not call you up, the doctors, and say, hey, I'm going to change your appointment. You know, one of those deals, you know. They're not going to do that. God's not going to change that appointment. You have an appointment. So, therefore, what is the time frame of our working for God? What is the time frame of us being a disciple and having that heart of a disciple? Well, till night, till death. Until God no longer gives you breath. You and I are to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to be that testimony that he needs to manifest who he is. Because I'll tell you what, we serve an amazing God, don't we? We serve a God who is more than willing to pick us up, carry us through. We serve a God who is willing to make sure things are in order. We serve a God that is more than capable of giving us our needs. We get in trouble because we have a want list that is greater than our need list. And somehow we sort of take the barrier down in between those lists and mesh it together. And our want list, we believe God should see it as a need list. And listen, do you think you can outsmart God, really? Do you think God didn't see you erase the line between? Do you think God didn't know that you want something that really you don't need? It's amazing how we confuse that at times in our life. So this heart of a disciple is very, very clearly defined here about the reason why. The main purpose in our life ought to be that everything we do manifest who he is. Is he a loving God? Then you better love people around you. Is he a great God? Then you need to give him the glory and the credit when you are given the glory and the credit. Listen, it's not you, it's not me, it's not what we do. It's all about what he allows us to do and how he works through us. One of the greatest compliments you could ever get is that somebody sees you do some great thing for God, some great thing for them. Like, man, I can't believe you did that. And it's like, you know, I so much appreciate you seeing Christ in me. Because if I didn't have Christ, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't do it for you. I'd be just like the rest of the world. It ain't my problem. Everything we do it so that God is manifest. That's the heart of a disciple. And I think that's what Christ is exemplifying here. So the second thing we see is, I hold the torch. And we see that as we go into verse 5. Verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Christ is using that of his own. He's saying that his own deal. He is the light of the world. But we also know that as long as he was here, he was the light. Now, we know that he is here in presence. We know that he is two or three are gathered together. He is here. But he's not here in the realm of that he was when this verse was penned. He was not incarnated to come down in the flesh. He was not in his flesh and blood at this point now that he was then. So what happens? What do we need to understand? What do we need to see? Well, while he was here, we realize that he was the light as long as he was here. And verse 5 says it very clearly. But the next phrase in that, or next thing we need to understand, set a finger there in John and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is pretty clear on this. And it tells about what is going on now. While he was still here, and Matthew is a great book to read about his teachings and what he was trying to get us to understand. And in Matthew 5, verse 13, it says this, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light candles and put them under the bushel, but no, on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Excuse me. So what he's saying, the torch has been passed to us. And we know that. This is like theology 101. We know that we are the light of the world. We know that we are the torches. We know that God is going to use us. But again, we're living in a world where the purpose has been clouded up, where the heart of a disciple has been changed and filled with other things. Because if you and I have a heart of a disciple, and we have a heart that's going to do this every day of our life, listen, this is very difficult to be that light. Sometimes we hide like a bushel, under a bushel. Sometimes our light may go a little dim because of who we're around. Sometimes we won't speak up and take a stand because we're afraid of what might happen. And therefore, the light begins to dim. And so when we see the fact that we are now the torchbearers, we are the ones that has been passed to, and we need to uphold that, how important it is that God says, again, same thing he says in verse 16 of chapter 5, may see, that men may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. He said the same thing in Matthew. He said the same thing in John. Everything we do ought to manifest who our God is. All our works. Listen, man, we go to work in many different places. We go to work and doing many different things. It doesn't define one job or one place of employment over the other. He just says, no matter what you do, let God be glorified in it. In other words, if you're asked to do a task, don't just get it done. Man, do it to the best of your ability. Do it so that the person that asks you to do it takes notice. Says, wow, this looks really good. Wow, this is professionally done. Wow, you really took some care into this. And it's not doing that to glorify you. Remember, you're supposed to take all that acclamation and you're supposed to say, I'm glad you saw Christ in me. Because if he wasn't in there, I wouldn't have done it that well. I wouldn't have a reason to do it that well. Because you're going to pay me whether I do it that well or whether I do it half as good. I'm still going to get paid. You see, that's the difference. That's the heart of a disciple. Don't cut corners. Because Christ never cut corners. Christ was who he was, whether he was sitting in the synagogue or sitting in the sinner's house. He was always the same. You see, that's what we need to be. Listen, you all come in on Sunday mornings and put on your Sunday best. You put on your smiles, most of you, not all of you, but you try. You know, we try to come. We try to have just a time of study, a time of worship in our God. And then you go home. And if your smile and your dress and your heart and your attitude is different at home than it is here, you've lost the heart of a disciple. It has to be, listen, if that heart's in you, you're not going to change because you changed location. You're not going to change because of the address. You're not going to change because of the people around you. You will always be a Christ follower. You'll always be who Christ wants you to be. And the problem is we compromise a little bit and we settle for second best in our life. And as long as we're, listen, if you look out in our world, we look like angels. All right, nobody agrees with that. But anyway, we look like angels compared to some of the people in our world, right? And who are you comparing your life to? Remember, who's our example today? Christ. He's setting the example. He's setting the standard and the code for us to be able to do this. So we see here that the torch has been passed to us very clearly. The next thing we need to see, sent. Verse 7 says, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. He went his way, therefore washed and came seeing. This is so huge and so important because when we are sent, basically, when he was sent, again, the Siloam, you and I are to go. Acts 1:8 says that we are to go into our Jerusalem, the Samaria, Judea, and to the othermost parts of the world. You and I, we're not going to travel to go there. The context of that is he's talking to the disciples who were told to go into the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the power of God. Wait for the promise of God. In John chapter 14 and 15, it talks about that power was the promise. I must leave so that the one God will send will come. And when he came upon them in Acts chapter 2, they had some pretty amazing power, didn't they? There's some great things going on. They authenticated their message by the power that God gave them. We call them the apostolic gifts. Those apostolic gifts, any of you an apostle today? Then you don't have the gifts, do you? It's pretty simple to realize that there are many today who are trying to say that we have the ability to do what only the apostles were given to do. We don't need miracles. I believe in a God of miracle, by the way. I believe God can do unbelievable things with people's lives, with people's work, and with people's health and everything. God can do amazing things, but I can't. That's not my role. That's not my job. I need to authenticate God's truth by how? Having a heart of a disciple that's going to manifest God in what I do. My life has taken place of the apostolic gifts. I am the miracle that God did. So are you. You're all miracles. Y'all believe that? Y'all left me hanging dry on that one. You're a miracle. Now, maybe the one sitting next to you says he don't live with you. But anyway, you're all miracles. Sorry, Robin, I'm trying not to. And I only say that because Robin said that don't make me laugh. I'll start coughing. But we need to realize what has God done in us? What has God done for us? Man, we need to get out of this slump of how bad our world is, how negative our world is, how we can't do it. You can do anything that God wants you to do. Everything God wants you to do. And it's going to come a time that we're going to have to make a stand, and it's going to really hurt to do that. If we can't make a stand now when it doesn't hurt, I guarantee you, you're going to fall like a napkin. You are not going to stand when it does hurt. So when we see this, we are to go. We are sent out. Just like this blind man was sent. Now, interesting, what do we find in the script, in the text next. He went, he washed, and he saw. Do you realize that's a redemptive story right there? He went to a pool of water, Shalom, and it meant sent. God is sending him to a place. He is sent. And when he went there, he believed in God enough as he washed. He went, he washed, and he saw. And I'm going to tell you what, that is huge. Because you and I need at times in our life, man, we need to go. We need to be cleansed. And we need to see the true light again. Not that our salvation is gone. We just need to see through all the cloudiness that's going on in our lives. We need to see through all the stuff. We need to see through all the what they call truth, but is not truth in our world. We need to be able to see through all that. And Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me is going to do what? Can be led by the light and we'll see. We'll be able to understand. We'll be able to see. It's the heart of his disciple. God, I need to understand this. God, I need to see through your eyes. God, this person is really becoming a thorn in my side. God, I need to know how to love them. I need to know how to deal with them. God, this circumstance that you have allowed me to come into allowed me to walk through and come into my life, I can't handle it. God, give me the wisdom to know how to do. You see, that's God. That's somebody who has a heart of God. When they hurt, when they can't figure it out, when they don't understand, they want to see that light. They want the light of God to come in their life and open their eyes of understanding. He's promised us that. In fact, even in salvation, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God removes the blinders so that they understand the truth of who he is. We need to understand there are times in our life we need to go, we need to wash so that we can see, so that we can see again what God has for us. And I have a question that came in my studies, and I figured I might as well ask you, why this man? Have any of you ever asked that question of God? Why me? Why now? You've got to be kidding, God. I think I'm hitting some chords here. Why this man? No, what the important thing is, let's just turn in chapter 9 and go further in the text in verses 35. Because when we go further in this verse 35, we see some pretty amazing things. And what I want to see is basically he answers, or we have the answer to that question. In chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they cast him out. Now we need to do a little bit of backup. What happened was, in verse 10 and 11, in chapter 9, he sees, he's amazed, he goes, and he tells everybody. And the Pharisees have a problem with this. And so the Pharisees ask, how did you see? He says, I don't know. There was a man in front of me, and I believed him, and I went and washed, and now I see. To the people all around him that knew him all his life, were astonished because he could now see. He was blinded at birth, but now he sees. So all of this is going on. It comes to a point now, the Pharisees say, listen, we can't explain this. We can't shut him up. That's what God, you know, that's what you and I should be like when God does something. Can't shut you up, just saying. Because Sunday morning, y'all quiet, just saying. But when, what are we going to do with them? So what do? We come to verse 35. They kicked him out. They cast him out. He can't be doing this. So when they cast him out, in verse 35, Jesus gets wind of this and finds this out. And he says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Verse 36, this is the blind man. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Basically, he said, I am he. Verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see may be made blind. What did he just say? Listen, this man was born blind at birth so that God could be manifested later on in his life. And this guy, listen, you're not going to convince him that God don't exist. You're not going to convince him that some miraculous thing just happened in his life. So Christ just asked him, do you believe? Well, yeah, he believes. And yeah, he believes in Christ. And Christ now says, listen, this is why I came into the world, to seek and to save those who are lost. I came into this world to seek and save those who are blind. Blind how? Every one of us are born spiritually blind. This is no mistake that it was this man that he chose to do this with. It's no mistake that God just randomly walked up, or Christ walked up and said, you know, this guy looks like he's having a bad day. God knew, Christ knew, that this was exactly the one that was born blind so that God could be manifest, so that you and I would understand we are born spiritually blind from birth. It's not the do's and don'ts we do. It's not the all of a sudden, these precious little babies that are here today, they go a little older. No! I don't know what happens. There's something in the, I don't know, it's the birthday cakes you give them before they get one or two. I don't know. It's there because they were born. At conception, that sinful nature gets passed on. And so we are spiritually born blind. And what did Christ say in that latter part? And he says in verse 39, basically he come into a judgment. He's not that he's judging us. He's simply saying you need to judge yourself. Because when you judge yourself, I'll come into the world that you see not might see. And those who see might be blind. What he's saying is all those who think they know, think they can work for it, think they can pay their way in, think they can pray their way into heaven, it's not going to work. You may think you see, but truly you're still blind. Those who are truly blind and see the light, who is Christ, man, now they see. You are that light to the blinded world spiritually. That's why the heart of a disciple is so important. Why? Because we're the torch now, right? It's been passed to us. Because we've been sent into Jerusalem, hometown, Judea, Reynoldsville. I don't know. I can't go too far. My mind won't work that way. But it's in your home. And you go out from there. Everywhere you go, God says your life needs to manifest who I am. Because they're born spiritually blind. And it's the light that you carry that will allow them to see who I am. Listen, that's huge. That's so important in our life. And my heart and my goal is that this year to come, we can expand on that. And what I mean by expand on that is we can maybe shine that light bright more often. Don't be bothered by who's in front of you. Don't be bothered about the circumstance that you're in. And I say that carefully because I know life hurts. Life's terrible at times. But God wants us, and listen, he knew before the foundations of the world, that moment, that day, you were going to be broken. And he also said, remember who I am. Because of who I am, you're going to be okay. And you know what? Because of who he is, you know who else is going to be okay? Everybody around it. Everybody involved in the circumstance. God doesn't just care for one. He cares for all at the same time. That's how great of a God he is. That's how big of a God he is. So how do we take this and what do we do with this? First of all, our takeaway this morning, we need to look at it in a way. First, that the torch has been passed. How well are you carrying it? That's a question that only you can ask God. How well are you carrying the torch? You'll know that by how you respond. You'll know that by the people around you. I say this very carefully because we offend people anyway, just because. But if your walk with Christ doesn't offend the people around you, you need to replace the batteries. That was a God illustration why this thing ain't working today, you know? The batteries don't work, your light ain't going to shine. Maybe we need to tap into that Spirit of God a little bit more. Maybe we need to tap into that learning a little bit more so that we can shine a little bit brighter. And yes, you're going to offend some people. when you stay true to the Word of God. And I've said this many times in ministry that you and I, as true believers of the Bible, we are going to go against the flow of Christianity before too long. And I think that's very obvious as we can see who's behind the pulpits, how they're compromising life, how they're taking life and saying it's okay. All the things that we see in our world that go strictly against the truth of the Word of God. If you want to stand on it, you're going to go against Christianity. We need to be ready for that. We need to be careful for that. So the torch is passed. How well are we carrying it? The next thing, what other purpose have you put into your life? What other purposes have you have in your life? You have them, trust me. The reason you wake up every day. The reason you associate with who you associate with. All of that is purpose in life. In fact, we have many purposes in life. But this needs to be the priority. This needs to be the first one. So if you can make a list and define what other purposes you have in life, you do that by looking at what you do. You do that by looking at how much time you spend in one thing or another. You do that in the realms of how much. And it's almost like when two people get married, this is the right answer is, you know, why do you want to get married? It's not because I think I can live with them. It's because I know I can't live without them. See, that's why you get married. That's why you're supposed to get married anyway. And so the same thing should be with our relationship with God. I need that Harvard disciple because it's not that I can do it with them. I can't do it without them. I can't live life without them. So that prioritized that in our life. The last one this morning. In this year, live your life with His purpose. His purpose. And the one greatest thermometer in that is, where do you spend most of your time? That is your number one purpose in life. Spend 60 hours at work, your number one purpose is money. Career. Got to be on high on the list. Why? Well, you need to answer that one. I can't. Because if that is where you spend all your time, then that's your purpose. If you spend all your time with your family becomes your purpose. And, you know, too much of a good thing is still a bad thing, right? I say that carefully. I've always been told that family is like fish. 3 days and they all stink. Anyway, as we go through life, we need to remember, if we don't prioritize His purpose, our purpose will drown it out. God's not going to force it. God's not going to make it. God's going to say, listen, if you're my disciple, that's great, but I want you to be a Christ follower. I want you to follow His example. I want you to do what He does. And that's a challenge in all of our lives today. Let's pray. God, we thank You again for who You are. We thank You for Your love. And Father, I pray as we just put it into perspective of what we've studied this morning, Lord, it's needed for all of our lives, not just one or two. We all need to step it up a little bit in this area of our life. And in order to be that disciple, again, it's what we learn and we allow it to be the basis of our conduct. Maybe we just need to learn more. Maybe we need to apply what we've learned. Maybe we need to trust You more in the truth of who You are. For whatever the reason may be, God, today I pray that we take that step and simply say, God, I want to step up my heart disciple for You. And God, I pray that we all do that. I pray that we make that a priority in our life. God, we just give You the praise for the results that may come from Your word going forth. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. As we sing our final song together this morning,